So we've been trying to speak a little bit, not only just about Carbanos, but trying to gain some insight in general in terms of the whole, what exactly is considered the carbon and not considered the carbon. We've spoken about some things that I wouldn't have thought are per se considered to be Carbanos, but nevertheless, they seem to be treated as such. So that we did after speaking about individual Carbanos. So today we're speaking about Bikurim. Bikurim, in many ways, is a Parshas Kisavo discussion, but it's also in Parshas Kisisa, and a very important way there also. And let's try to understand a little bit about Bikurim, and we'll find, I think, some really interesting Torah about it, in particular, one Mahalach, in which Bikurim becomes, in many ways, like a Karban. Let's get some basic details down, Pat. Let's focus. I want to go pretty quickly through two different Mahalachim about Bikurim, and then a third, which I think is very intriguing, which we're going to try to develop. In general, Bikurim, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisavo, that the first fruits that you have, when they become ripe, so when they're still attached to the ground, the Mishnayos and Bikurim explain, you tie something around it, and then you eventually are going to, and Bikurim, Rashi writes in his Perush al Torah, I believe, Bikurim are only the first fruits of the Shivas Haminim. Not any fruit, but of the first Shivas Haminim, of all the things you do with your produce. So Bikurim are the first, like Bechor, the first, and that you're going to, what are you going to do with it? You're going to bring it to Yerushalayim. You're going to bring your Bikurim to Yerushalayim. When do you offer Bikurim? So Chag HaBikurim, from Shavuos and onwards, we can offer Bikurim. We can offer Bikurim. When you bring Bikurim, so you bring it to Yerushalayim, you then bring it into the Mikdash. You're going to, on some level, do like a tenufa. You're going to be waving it like a certain kind of avoda. You famously do something, at least if you bring it early enough, called Mikra Bikurim. There are psukim that you recite when you bring those first fruits to Yerushalayim. And then you use those first fruits, you give it to a Kohen. You give it to a Kohen. That's what happens with your Bikurim. That's what the din of Bikurim is all about. And again, we said it before, that Shavuos, one of the names of Shavuos is Chag HaBikurim, but it's found in Parshas Kisavo. There are a lot of fascinating things about Bikurim. One, I'll just point out, despite it chronologically being the first thing you do, Bikurim, of all of your produce, it is the last Masechta in Seder Zrayim. That is fascinating. Chronologically, it should have been first, yet we mentioned it last. And the Rambam made you something even a little bit similar also in Sefer Zrayim, which is intriguing, and maybe we'll understand a little bit why later, but at least to frame things, there's a lot to say about Bikurim. What we're going to try to do is develop, I guess, three different Mahalchim for how do you categorize Bikurim, and what is Bikurim sort of more similar to? The question's somewhat vague right now. It'll become much clearer as we go on. We're going to develop three possibilities. One, I'll say right now, is going to view Bikurim as being like one of the mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz, like Truma and Meiser when there's Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, there are certain dinim that flow from that. One of them is Bikurim. The second is going to view Bikurim as being part of one of the Matnos Kehuna. It goes to a Kohen to be in that list. And the third will view Bikurim more as a Karban. These Mahalchim are not mutually exclusive. It could be that they're all true. But we're going to try our best to understand a little bit about the nature of Bikurim. It's good, famous, well-known, interesting Torah to be aware of. At least some of it is more well-known. Some of it less well-known. But we'll try to do our best. So the first Mahalach argues as follows. Bikurim is a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz. Today in Eretz Yisrael, why would I think that's true? Well, it applies to the Shivas Haminim. Shivas Haminim are the unique fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Bikurim only applies, the Gemara Bava Basra tells us, to produce found in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz La'aretz, you don't bring Bikurim at all. And even though, like, say, Chala, you separate in Chutz La'aretz, Bikurim does not apply in Chutz La'aretz at all. That much is certain. Not only that, not only is it limited to Eretz Yisrael, but it seems to be sort of part of that list. And when you learn the Mishnayos in Bikurim, it also has some overlap with the Dinim of Truma. So if I'm looking at Bikurim, the first thing I would say is that Bikurim really is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, like Trumos and Maestros, that whenever you grow produce, fruits, or vegetables in Eretz Yisrael, there are Dinim that apply because there's Kedusha there. Like the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that mitzvah, the plius ba'aretz, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And the simple pshat, at least of one stage of the Gemara there, is that mitzvah tuya ba'aretz is not a chiyav on you. It's a chiyav in the ground. The ground is kadosh. It's mechayiv certain halachos. So just like it's mechayiv trumo, separate part of the produce to give to a kohen, meiser to give to a levi, it also is mechayiv bikurim, the first fruits you bring to Yerushalayim. That's the first mahalach of how you're going to view bikurim. In truth, however, it is most likely a machlokas harishonim. That is because of a Tosfos in Baba Basra, where Tosfos in Baba Basra asks a question. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that there is a, sorry about the bottle, that there is a special pasuk that we learn that Bikurim is limited, to Eretz Yisrael. Asks Tosfos the following question. I don't get it. Why does the Gemara Baba Basra have to quote a pasuk for me that Bikurim is limited to Eretz Yisrael? Lich Ora, it's obvious. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Asher Tavi Me'artzicha. Has to come from your Eretz, Me'artz Yisrael. L'mi'utei Chutz La'aretz. Asks Tosfos, why do I need a special pasuk teaching me that Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael? Isn't it obvious? It's a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. And all the mitzvot tluyos ba'aretz, the Gemara taught us towards the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So why do I need a special pasuk teaching me Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael? Tosfos gives two answers. The first answer of Tosfos, at least the way we would say it out, argues as follows. You're right. Bikurim is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It is. It should be limited only to Eretz Yisrael, and it's obvious. But, since the Torah, in Shmos Perek Chav Gimel, since the Torah compares, puts next to Bikurim, the Isser of Basar B'Chalav, I could have thought that just like Basar B'Chalav applies, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz also, you can't cook together milk and meat. That similarly, Bikurim should apply in Chutz La'aretz. So since even though Bikurim is a mitzvah tuya ba'aretz, I would have thought that since in Parshas Kisisa, Bikurim is next to Basar B'Chalav, and just like Basar B'Chalav applies even in Chutz La'aretz, that Bikurim should also apply even in Chutz La'aretz. So we need a special pasuk to teach me, don't say that. It's not true. Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But it seems, according to the first Mahalach in Tosfos, that in fact, Bikurim is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. And don't read too much into the need for its own pasuk teaching me to limit it to Eretz Yisrael. However, Tosfos also quotes the Rashba. The Rashba, when Tosfos quotes the Rashba, not the Rashba that we are familiar with, the Rashba that we are familiar with in Shas, as far as the Talmud, the Ramban, the Ritva from that world, but rather the Rash Mishantz, the Peirush HaRash. The Rash Mishantz, Tosfos quotes is like this. You know, one of those things amazing? Bikurim is not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz at all. It's limited to Eretz Yisrael. Yup. That's why it has its own pasuk teaching me to limit it to Eretz Yisrael. But it's not really what you would call a chovas hakarka. It's not really mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. It's different than Shumas and Meiser. It's no din about, like, the payros themselves have kedusha or anything like that, and that's why you're doing it. The mechayiv is not like the payros and the iser tevel. It's all mixed together. You got to separate it. No. Bikurim is, they have kedusha, we'll see in a little bit, but Bikurim is not a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. There's no iser tevel with it. If you have mixed together Bikurim and other things, it's not an Isser the same way. It's a separate halacha. You have an obligation to bring Bikurim. Ad kidei kach, I would have thought that your first fruits, even if you're in Riverdale or Teaneck or Chicago or Los Angeles, wherever you are, that you have to take those first fruits and bring them to Yerushalayim, to the Makom HaMikdash. So Rashi Mishnah says it's really not considered to be a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz at all, Bikurim. The separate halacha. You have an obligation to take your first fruits and to bring them to the Mikdash, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And without the pasuk of Artzicha, I would have thought it's mechayev even from Chutz La'aretz. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. If it's not a mitzvah to be argued, we have to explain what it is, but at least that's the first thing. There are some that point out that maybe Rashi holds like this also. Because Rashi, in a couple of places in Shas, like in the Gemara and Kiddushin, lists for us examples of mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. What is always missing from Rashi's list? Bikurim. Bikurim is not on Rashi's list. If you look at Rashi as an example, on Kiddushin, Lamed Vav, Rashi says, what are mitzvot ba'aretz? Kigon, trumos ma'isros chal leket shicha peyeshviyis chadesh or lekilayim. What's missing? Bikurim. Bikurim. So some suggest that Rashi agrees also, like the Rashi Shantz, Bikurim is not one of the mitzvot ba'aretz. Ah, Rav Shaul Yisraeli said, but Rashi says kigon, he's not giving an exhaustive list. He's just giving examples. He still gave us a whole lot of examples. The absence of Bikurim may still very much be telling. So is Bikurim mitzvah tuya ba'aretz? Not so sure. Maybe yes, but maybe no. And especially if it's not, I may want to understand what else may it be. What else may give us the character, the unique character of Bikurim? Yeah, Velva, what's up?
So, based on the thing that Rami said before, that it's really not the number the Pusik says that it is. So does the Pusik now make it to Leiva Aretz?
So for the Rosh Bishans, no. Meaning it's a very good Svara. You could have said that. I would have thought, that's a search you could have said. I would have thought it's not a Mitzvah to Leiva Aretz. Come out from the Pusik that it is. For the Rosh Bishans, it's like, no, it's not a Mitzvah to Leiva Aretz. It's not even a Maskara.
Then comes the pasuk to say that really it is
that's true, the Rashi Shantz, but one could have said that if not for the fact that he's explicit. I think that even Lamaskana, it's really not a mitzvah to Yubaretz. But it's a very fair way of reading the Gemara. Like you could have read the Gemara like that. Avi, I don't know. I don't know. For your question. So what else could be Kurim be? So the other way of looking at Bikurim is to argue that Bikurim is one of the Matnos Kahuna, or maybe in addition to being a Mitzvah Tuya Ba'aretz, it's one of the Matnos Kahuna. We know that the Gemara tells us in Meseches Baba Kama and other places, Sugyos in Chulin, that there are 24 Matnos Kahuna. Okay, in fact, there may be even more than 24. I don't know, hard to figure out what the 24 really are, but there are 24 Matnos Kahuna, and Bikurim seems to be one of the Matnos Kahuna. The Rambam, even, in Sefer Zerayim, the Rambam, Hilchos Bikurim, is really called Hilchos Bikurim, and Manos Kuna Shebikvulim, meaning Hilchos Bikurim, the Rambam even includes in Bikurim a discussion about the Manos Kahuna. I believe, I'm sorry, look it up, but the first perek of Hilchos Bikurim for the Rambam is even an introduction to the Manos Kahuna. It goes to Kohanim, the Mishnayos are very clear. It ends up belonging to Nichsei Kohen. It ends up belonging to the Kohanim. What's interesting, we'll just give a little bit of lum this year. I want to get to the main part of this year. But what's interesting is that not all Matnos Kahuna are actually created equal. Not all Matnos Kahuna are really created equal. And there are some distinctions between them. But again, yeah, the Rambam does introduce all of Matnos Kahuna in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. That's what you have there. And if you look in the Mishnayos and Bikurim, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yubeis, Lama Amruha Bikurim K'nichsei Kohen, that's viewed as being like Nichsei Kohen. The Mishnah Bikurim in Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph tells us that it's usher for a czar, for a non-Kohen to eat it, because it's Nichsei Kohen. It belongs to a Kohen. What's interesting, not for now, but there are not all Matnos Kahuna, like we said, are created entirely equal. Reb Chaim in the Grach al Rambam and Hilchos Erchin points out one distinction. I'll give you as an example, because it's something else that we learned, which is important. The difference between Reb Chaim points out one Matnos Kahuna called Bichor, that goes to a Kohen, and Bikurim. They're both Matnos Kahuna. I would think that they're similar because Bechor and Bikurim, you don't have to get too fancy with the etymology to point out that they have similar letters. They're all about firstborn, first fruits that you give over. They all go to Kohanim. Nevertheless, Chaim points out, an interesting distinction, and this is true for a lot of the Matnas Kahuna. It's an important question to be aware of, so we're just going to mention it now, which is, at what point do the Matnas Kahuna actually belong to the Kohen? One way of looking at it is, this is what you would say, where Reb Chaim says is true probably for Bechor. Bechor belongs to the owner, the Yisrael. When does it belong to the Kohen? So Reb Chaim says, Bechor, detali rachmana, binesina, kol zman shel nasan arehu birshus bailim, that as long as you haven't given it over, it belongs to you. It's a manas kahuna when you give it to a Kohen, so now it actually belongs to the Kohen. We would point out, if we're getting fancy, that there are actually two ways that could go within different manas kahuna. Some is a direct giving of me to the Kohen. Some it looks like I'm giving to the Kohen, but really Hashem is the middleman. The Rambam in Truma sounds like that. I give it to Hashem. Hashem, Yishulchem Gavoa Kazachu, gives it to the Kohen. Just, I can't see Hashem. So it doesn't look like it. That's really what's happening. However, Reb Chaim points out that when it comes to Bikurim, he suggests, Bikurim actually don't really belong to you. They are already in the possession of the Kohanim. Of the Kohanim, even before you give it. Even before you give it, it already belongs to them. He says as follows, Masha Ekin Bibikurim, it's not true with Bikurim. Din Nesina Lesbahu. The Bialim don't have that much koach over it. Chaim says there are two nafkaminas of that. You can't be Makdis, your Bikurim. You own your Bikurim. You have limitations in your ownership. Not only that, but Chaim says, you know, with a lot of the Manas Kahuna, you could choose who you give it to, which Kohen you want to give it to. Tovas Hana, the question is about maybe the value of that, but I can choose which Kohen I want to give it to. Not true for Bikurim. Who gets your Bikurim? Anshe HaMishmar, the ones who are doing Avoda at that time in the Beis HaMikdash, they get your Bikurim. How come? You have less control over who gets it because it's not really yours. It really already belongs to the Kohen ahead of time. Okay, questions there. It doesn't belong to an individual Kohen. It belongs maybe to what's called Mamon HaShevet. The Kohanim collectively own it on some level. But different Manas Kahuna work in different ways. That's what Chaim says. Even Bikurim, which is a Manas Kahuna, it's different than Bechor. Bechor is yours until you give it over. Bikurim is really not yours already. It really already is destined to. And the Kohanim themselves have bialis and you don't. It comes from my field. It looks like I'm the owner. You're not. What are you going to do? Okay. This is all a setup for a third perspective on Bikurim, which views Bikurim, so it has nafkaminas for that. It may be that if someone takes it from you, they're not obligated to you the same way, but you taking it from Kohanim is a view of, it's like stealing Manas Kahuna on some level. That's a sugya and chula and daf kuf lamed, things like that. Okay. Yeah, Vav, what's up?
So, does that make you like a shomer over it? Like, what's your relationship to it?
So, that's an important question. That's a very important question. I'm just going to be vague right now and say, not for now, but it's a very fair and very important question. Are you nothing? You are the bialim that are chayev to bring it. Like, is it analogous to a Shavas Aveda, which sort of belongs to someone else, but it's your responsibility to return it to its rightful owner? It's a fair question. Okay. So here's a third mahalach, a very fascinating one to argue as follows. I'm going to say it out, and then you'll tell me, and then we'll see why you would ever want to say this. But the third is to view Bikurim not really as just a mitzvah to be ba'aretz, or maybe even not a mitzvah to be ba'aretz, not just one of the Manas Kahuna, but maybe Bikurim in many ways are like a karban. It's like a karban. Now, on the one hand, I would say Bikurim is not like a karban at all. It's not an animal. You're not makriv it agabe hamizbeach. So why would it be a kohen? Sorry, why would it be a karban? But we already know, because we've seen a little bit, that maybe certain things can be called like a karban, even though you're not makriv it. The tzipore mitzora, you're not makriv. The ketores are an animal. That maybe we have things in the mikdash like a karban. They're not really makriv on a mizbeach, and put it all together, maybe kurim are really like a carbon in a certain sense, albeit a very unique carbon. Not a carbon that you're offering on the mizbeach, but a carbon that you're still going to deliver. Now, why would I say this at all? Why would I say this? So I think you would say it for, we'll build, you would say it for the first reason why you'd even entertain the possibility is because Bikurim, you are bringing it to Yerushalayim. You're bringing it into Mikdash. The Bikurim, maybe Bechor connection, that's a carbon. Maybe I would think in a certain sense, it's like, that's not what we know now. It's what I would say. I don't know, maybe it's like a carbon. There's a second reason why you may entertain the possibility that it's really a carbon, and that is because of the psukim may indicate on some level it's really a carbon. And that's the following. Again, there's a lot of things here. I'm talking about the Rav is a beautiful Mahalas, about the Mishnah and Kalim, but not so much for now. But the Mishnah, the psukim, sorry, in Vayikra and Perek Beis, is talking about how minchas, the idea of minchas have to come, they can't come from chametz normally. Every mincha comes only from non-chametz. And one thing that we have there in the psukim is the following. The pasuk says, "Carbon reishis takrivu osam lashem." And there's something called a carbon reishis. What's the carbon reishis we're referring to? So Rashi says, "Gemar Menachos peidalid shtei halechem." That we spoke about before Shavuos time, a certain kind of carbon you offer on Shavuos, and ubikurim min hadvash. Bikurim are also called. Carbon ratius. Look at the Rashbam there also. What's carbon ratius? Shtei halechem. That's the mincha chadasha. It's from newer produce, newer grain. You offer it on Shavuos. And the Rashbam says, ubikure peiros hamifurashem bechisavo. That's also called a carbon. So if I just had that, I would think on some level, it's really called a carbon. And the Ramban, in his Perush HaTorah, in Parshas Naso, Bamidbar Perek Hey, Pasuk Tes, Ramban also says, Al Dasha Mishma Lo Yavolash Nahakurava B'Torah, Ela B'Krev Magabim Izbeach, V'Yotzer Yekrivu, B'Bikurim, well, wait a second, Shem to Unim to Nufa V'Hagasha. There's a line of Hakurava when it comes to Bikurim. That's the Pasuk there. Pasuk says, V'Chol Tshruma L'Chol Kacha B'nei Yisrael, Asher Yakrivu L'Kohen. Rashi points out that can't mean truma, because truma is not makrivu lekohen. It's a reference to bikurim. So the Torah says bikurim is asher yakrivu lekohen. It sounds like it's a carbon on some level. So, one, it seems like it's a little bit similar. Maaser Sheni is very similar to Efesh Kayach. Very similar. We spoke about Maaser Sheni last year, a year and a half ago. Maybe we'll speak about it in this year, depending on how long they go on. But it looks like bikurim is called a carbon. It's called a carbon. Not only does it look like Bikurim, it's in Yerushalayim and it's called a carbon, but there are a lot of halachas where we learn Hilchos Bikurim are patterned after halachas of karbanos. I'll just give you the most like ferocious place. I don't know if it's the right or wrong word. The most extensive discussion I'm aware of is, we'll see it also, very good. We'll get there, I'll be back in a second. The sefer called Pri Etchayim on Maseches Bikurim. The sefer is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It is an amazing sefer on Bikurim. If you ever learn Bikurim, you want access to the sefer. At least when I learned Bikurim 8 or 9 years ago, I thought the sefer was amazing. And I'm not sure my taste has, maybe it's expanded a bit, hopefully. I'm into newer things as I get older. But the sefer is amazing. Sefer is amazing. It is written by a Rav Kraus from England. It's written by, the name is Rav Chaim Kraus. I believe he is originally from Gateshead. Obviously not here today, so we can't get our British representation. He has here in his Sefer 15 halachas that we learn from Karbanos to Bikurim. And the more you read, there are more, and the more you learn, there are also more, potentially. But different dinim that we have with Bikurim, we only have by Karbanos. I want to give some examples of them, and then we'll speak about what it may mean that Bikurim is a Kohen in a certain sense. One example. The Turi Evan in Megillah on Daf Chaf Mebeis says, Just like you can't bring karbanos at night, you also can't bring bikurim at night. Because bikurim, they're like karbanos. They're like karbanos. The sugyas in Meseches Erchin, based on the Mishnayos in Meseches Bikurim, Tosfos there, Shnu, Betzes there, there's a din we know with karbanos called Shira. That when you offer karbanos, there's a Shira song, the Levium sing when you offer it. Important sugyas in Erchin there, Dafir Aleph. The halacha is Bikurim also requires. It also requires Shira. My folks have shown him when you offer it. He quotes here that Safnas Paneach in his Tshuva, the Ragachover, in Tshuva, Simon Kufches, writes explicitly a lot of discussions about Shira and Bikurim is connected to this Yisod, Bikurim being like Karbanos. Further, as Avi mentioned in the chat, Tenufa, the Avoda of waving, the Bikurim is something which we do with Karbanos sometimes. It seems like maybe it's considered to be a Karban. Moreover, a halacha that Reb Chaim brought, but they're going to shift it for a different reason. The Mishnah Bikurim tells us, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, who gets the Bikurim? You don't choose who gets it. Anshei HaMishmar, the ones doing Avoda in the Mikdash at that time. That may be because it's similar to Kachim. Who gets the Kachim? The Kohanim doing Avoda in Mikdash. Well, it's like Kachim, and therefore who gets it? The Kohanim who are doing the Avoda, who are doing the avoda at that particular time. That particular time. What's another example where it comes up? Again, we're just going for a couple of them. But another example where it comes up, the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Peches, at least according to Rashi in the Gemara there, Rashi's Girsa, it's called Pre-Eitz Chaim, Avi, Pre-Eitz Chaim. What is, there's a lot of Sfarim called Pre-Eitz Chaim. It's a Pre-Eitz Chaim on Bikurim. Says, there is a din found in the Gemara, it's a Gemara Menachos called Mashke Yisrael. When it comes to karbanos, you can only offer the kinds of karbanos that are mutter for us to eat. That are mutter for Jews to eat. That's the only kind of that's the only thing where we say that you can offer karbanos if it's mutter to eat. The Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Peches, at least according to Rashi, extends that klal as well to Bikurim. I believe the example there is, what if you have Meduma? Meduma is a mixture of Truma gets mixed together with Chulin. So Yisraelim aren't allowed to do it. So if you have Bikurim from that, Rashi says in Zvachim, that's usher to bring as Bikurim, because since it's Yisrael, it's usher for Yisrael to eat. I don't mean usher once you're makrivit. Then a lot of things are usher for Yisrael to eat. But as far as before, it's already usher for Yisrael to bring. That's called the psul of Mashke Yisrael. How are we applying the psul of Mashke Yisrael to Bikurim? Bikurim has a mutter for Yisrael to eat. The regular fruit, you have your grapes, it's mutter for Yisrael to eat. When you bring it, it's kosher food. But this is not kosher food. You can't bring it. Why is it pasul? Because it's like a karban, has the din of Mashke Yisrael. This comes up with a lot of different halachas also. That if you look, some suggest that's why stolen bikurim is pasul, just like stolen karbanos are a problem, stolen bikurim are a problem. The Bar Tanua writes, I'm sorry I'm overwhelming you with information about this, I'm really trying to prove that it's true, i.e., I'm just reading from the Sefer Pre-Eitz Chaim, did not require that much fancy work. He quotes a Bar Tanura with an amazing chiddush. We know there is an iser called Me'ila. You're not allowed to derive benefit from Hekdesh. Hekdesh is for Hashem, it's for Karbanos. You can't stop derive benefit from it. If you do, it's iser of Me'ila, says the Bar Tanura in Me'ila, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. There's an iser of Me'ila by Bikurim. Because Bikurim are also like Karbanos. I'll give one more example. That's okay. It's okay. A built-in chazara. If you remember, we saw a halacha. Well, general clarity thus far. 1, 2, and 3. I'll give you one more halacha. Many of us last time learned a Tosfos in Zvachim, which is that Kachim has a unique phenomenon called Shana Alav HaKasav La'akev. Tosfos in Zvachim and Daf Dalet. That ordinarily, if the Pasuk says something is necessary, you need it. If you don't have it, it's puzzle. But when it comes to karbanos, if the Torah says you need something, we say, that's only a din l'charchila. You have to have it mentioned twice, Sana Allah Fakasuv La'akev in Kadshim, Tosfos says, for it to be absolutely necessary. A certain requirement is only really, really necessary if it says, if it's found twice in Psukim. Says the Gemara in Machos and Dafi Chesam and Beis, that this din of Shana Al-Bakasa La'akev is true by Bikurim also. How could it be true by Bikurim? We said it's only true by Kachim, Tosla says. No, because Bikurim is like Kachim. There too we require Shana Alav HaKasav, Shana Alav HaKasav La'akev. Okay. So we've seen thus far, we'll pause for questions in 1 second. What we've seen thus far is that Bikurim are maybe like a Mitzvah Tuvi Baretz. They also are like a Malas Kehuna. They are also like a Karban. They have Dine Kachim that exists. And even if you didn't buy one of the Rayas, 15 is not bad. And most importantly, the Chumash calling it Karban Rashis. Rashi, according from the Gemara, Rashbam, Ramban, Takrivu, pretty clear it's like a Karban. But we have to try to define a little bit is what does it mean it's like a carbon. That we'll define in a minute. Try to pin down, what does this mean it's like a carbon? Avi, can you get a question?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know Rebbe said that there are a lot of rias, but one of them, like the one with the Mashta Yisrael,
yeah.
How is that really good raya if Bikurim only applies to Shiva Saminim or anyone?
No, so if you had a Shiva Saminim, that became treif through a different way. That if it became treif because it got mixed with truma, and then the Yisrael couldn't eat it, you couldn't bring those bikurim. Okay, is that clear? Okay. There is a... So what does this mean that it's like a karban? What does it mean it's like a karban? So there are a couple potential ways of suggesting it. In the Sefer Pri Chaim, he has two mehalchim, but we'll suggest one of them, and that's the following. Fundamentally, Bikurim, I'll give some background to the strength of the point of it. You don't have to be an animal to be a karban. We know it's then called a karban mincha, which is a flower offering. We know the ketores, maybe like a carbon, that's the spices. You don't need to be an animal to be called a carbon, but most carbonos are carbonos of behemoths. It is possible that Bikurim at its core, is a carbon that you offer. It's a carbon that you offer that's entirely a carbon. And in many ways, it's a carbon like other carbonos. It's miyuchad legavoa. It goes to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why in many ways we treat it like a karban. It has dine me'ilah, you have to bring it to the mikdash, it has shira, it has tenufa. It's really, really entirely like a karban. There's only like one knech. And honestly, from my perspective, I actually give it to Hashem Yisbarach, I give it over, and there's even like a hakrava with all the avodas that I do of the tenufa. There's so many of, it's like a hakrava, we even consider it. And I give it mishulchan l'shulchan gavoa. I give it to Hashem Yisparach. It's totally Hashem's. The only chiddush is that instead of offering it on the mizbeach, Kohanim get it mishulchan gavoa kazachu. Hashem gives it to them. V'hainu she'ikaren ein l'gavoa. Just u'achar she'nigmar avodas hamikdash zachu b'hen ha'kohanim mishulchan gavoa. Meaning it's like entirely like a karban. Not just, it's like, its core identity is the core identity of a karban, entirely. It happens to just be, even its manas kahuna component is like a secondary afterthought. It happens to be that at the end of the day, that once you offer it, so then you bring it. Effie may very much be tied to that. That's a very fair point. The overlap, the role of mikra bikurim is very important for this. 9 years ago or so, we spoke about bikurim on Thursday nights. We spoke a little bit about this, I believe. Okay. So that's where we get, I think, some interesting suggestion. It really, in many ways, is like a carbon. Why would that be? So I would just point out the following. we know that just with a bechor, the animal, the firstborn kosher animal, is offered as a kohen. So one suggestion is because, different ways of saying it, that there's a special added value to the first of something. I mean, the way the Maharal says it, that the first of something is more chashav, and it should go to the number one, which is the Ribono Shel Olam. It's the most appropriate place for you to bring your greatest stuff. I think even some Rishonim explain the rationale behind the Isser of Orla is that you have to give your first to Hashem. But when it comes to certain trees, their produce the first 3 years isn't so great. But the first has to go to Hashem. But Hashem can only get good things. So we don't let you do anything with Orla the first 3 years. The fourth year, that the Revai, goes to Hashem. Because then the first has to go to Hashem Yisparach. The first goes to Hashem. So Bechor goes to Hashem. And this also goes to Hashem in many ways. Bikurim and Bechor are very much connected. Whereas Reb Chaim distinguished between them, and the contrast is accurate, but the similarities also are telling as far as rolls of carbon. The only difference is the address. The address is the only difference. I saw an additional pshat even. You can take this or leave it. The Sefer written by, this is like a very random marmakam, I found it by mistake. The website, alhatorah.org, we referenced, has like the pasuk and like a lot of different mefarshim. So we came across Derech Agav with all the farshim there. Sefer they called, maybe it's called Halichos Eliyahu, but not Eliyahu Feinstein. A different sefer like that, written by a Talmud of Shadal. Shadal was an important Jewish thinker, I think in Italy. So he had a Talmud or a sefer in Chumash. I know nothing about Shadal, other than one line that Shechter quotes sometimes from Shadal. I don't know anything else about the guy. I know one other thing I heard in the Bible class in NYU. Two things, I guess. And apparently he had Talmidim. Who knew? So he wrote a parish in Chumash, where his Talmud has the following suggestion, which is a wild idea. He thinks that really with many or all of the Manas Kahuna, their natural place would actually have been on the Mizbeach. They're all Kadosh, and we should have been Makrevit. Just Chasa Torah on the Monan Shel Yisrael. I think the way he says it is, we are responsible for supporting the Kohanim. The Torah is nice to us. And instead of us offering all those things on the Mizbeach, and on top of that, having to then come and also support the Kohanim, that there were certain things that should have gone on the Mizbeach, that the Torah says, you don't have to offer on the Mizbeach, you can just give it to Kohanim. So in many ways, Bikurim at least, I don't know if it's true for all Maaz Kahuna, but with Bikurim, that Svara may really exist. The natural place for Bikurim is really, really on the Mizbeach. It's really Kachim, Isser Me'ila, Tenufa, Shira, Mashke Yisrael, Aser Be'erev, all those things. Thus, the Torah said, the address goes to Kohanim. The address goes to Kohanim. Yisuchon Gavoas Kazachu, Hashem decides to give it over to them. But from my perspective, until I go to Mikdash, it's mamash like a Kohen, like a carbon entirely, which again, I think is intriguing. I'll add by just pointing out the following. We spoke about Bikurim today. Bikurim being on one level. Maybe a mitzvah to Yibaretz, Rath Mishant, maybe not. Bikurim being, on the other hand, a Matnas Kahuna, sure seems like it is, but maybe different than Reb Chaim saw, different than Bechor. And then we saw that maybe really it's like a carbon, not a dinim of a carbon. And it's in this category of things which I wouldn't have thought were a carbon. But the more we look, the more we're going to find throughout Chumash that there are things that I didn't think were a carbon that really were like a carbon. And that maybe a defining characteristic of a carbon is not only was there achilas mizbeach, was it eaten on the mizbeach, but maybe a defining characteristic really is a certain kind of kedusha which is found there. You're bringing a certain elevated kedusha, a certain higher stature, and you bring it, you do avoda, maybe the end of the day address is not as critical as I would have thought, surprising as that may be. But certainly Bikurim becomes something very, very powerful, a very important idea, that from all of your food you're obligated to offer, the beginning has kedushas karbanos, kedusha of karbanos. I think a very powerful and very interesting and intriguing idea, Akan discussion of Bikurim.